Hi, everyone. Welcome to For the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with one of my favorite industry leaders to talk about the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's jump right in. I am thrilled to introduce Isabel Helms, VP of Research and Market Intelligence with Cox Automotive. And Isabel, who is both an esteemed colleague and a Cox Automotive legend, is here to share a little with you about how and why her team conducts such incredible studies, which ultimately serve as a sightline for our entire industry. And not only has Isabel worked here for quite a while, she had quite an impressive career here, but 10 years and 1 month ago, fun fact for the day, Isabel was my first interview with Cox Automotive, almost to the day, 10 years and a month ago. Yeah. So I may not be here with you all if it weren't for Isabel. So Isabel, welcome to the For the Road Forward podcast, and remind us how many years you have been with Cox Automotive.
Jay, do I have to tell you? Do I have to answer this question? Listen, we're closing in on almost 19 years with Cox Automotive. Of course, my day started with Auto Trader, but has been a wonderful, wonderful ride. And I'm still in the middle of it and enjoying every single day that I get to work with you, so many colleagues, and so many of our clients, for sure.
Well, we know that you started when you were 12, so that's
okay. Exactly right.
Yep,
that's exactly right.
That's it. All right. So, you know, I definitely have to start this episode with saying that we all know that the automotive industry has gone through so much transformation, and the pace of change is so much faster now than ever before. And so, you know, just think, 15 years ago, we were in the infancy of dealers listing their vehicles online instead of newspapers and magazines. And now in the area of e-commerce, where, you know, you can pretty much buy anything online at the touch of a button. And we're talking about moving more of the dealership purchase experience online. And it seems like every day a new innovative technology like artificial intelligence is being introduced that's going to change our lives really and truly forevermore. There's no going back. We see that in all of the studies that your team comes and talks to us about. So I know that over this time, Cox Automotive has completed hundreds of studies, groundbreaking information, gathering insights from hundreds of thousands of consumers. And so, Isabel, my first question to you has to be, as you think about that consumer journey from then, say 15 years ago, because I know you just celebrated that huge milestone of 15 years of the car buyer journey study to now, what are some of the most noteworthy twists and turns that have been tracked over those years?
Well, so Jade, if you'll allow me to indulge for just a second, can we step back like 15 years for a second, just for a second? So 15 years ago is when Apple introduced the iPad. I don't know if it feels like 15 years, wow. But 15 years ago, Instagram launched. Now, that surely feels like it's been around a lot longer than that. Uber hit the road for the very, very, very first time. And from a pop culture perspective, who can forget Lady Gaga and her infamous meat dress, right? All that took place 15 years ago. Now, in the world of Auto Trader magazines were still around. You know, the print version that you would find at the gas station, that was still around. And online research was the big disruptor in what everyone was talking about. So, yes, we've made a ton of progress over the last 15 years. And listen, I'm super proud of the car buyer journey, which is celebrating its 15th year anniversary this year. We launched this 15 years ago because so much of this car buyer journey was moving online that this was really the only way for us to keep up with how consumer behaviors and attitudes around the shopping process were changing. You know, back then, digital was not at the forefront of a dealership. They did not have a digital first mindset at all. Yes, they had dealer websites, but those were very, very basic. So how the conversation has changed over the course of the last 15 years has been phenomenal. You know, we're now talking about the digitization of everything. And so certainly as an industry, we've come a very, very long way.
That we have. So kind of looking back, can you give us a couple of the specifics that you just say, wow, this has been amazing that we've come this far?
Yeah. So, you know, as we prepared for this discussion today, I kind of took a look back at 15 years, what were some of the things that we were talking about back then? And one of the things that that really surprised me is back then we were talking about how consumers were starting to use their smartphones to shop for a car. At the time, only about 20% of buyers were using a smartphone for shopping, which seems so foreign to us today. You know, at the time we had forecasted that roughly 3/4 of shoppers might probably end up using a smartphone about the year 2020. And from what we can tell today, it's around 80%. So we've certainly moved the needle in a gigantic direction when it comes to how we're using various devices to shop for a car. I think the other thing that is fascinating is 15 years ago, 80% of shoppers would walk into a dealership completely unannounced, had not established any contact at all whatsoever with a dealer. Today, that's dropped down from 80% to 35%. So now dealers are having a dialogue in some way, shape, or form with 2/3 of the people that walk into their dealership. That's a huge, huge amount of progress over a relatively short period of time. Mm-hmm. Never before have dealers had, you know, so much insight about their car shoppers when they walk through the door. And today, 2/3 of shoppers are submitting a lead online before they even show up. So what we're seeing today is our clients, dealers, have information about their buyers spanning their financial situation, what they're shopping for. Equally important is what they're cross-shopping for. They have information about their trades and so much more. And what we see from the research that we conduct is that the dealers that are successfully leveraging all of these insights about car shoppers are certainly the ones that that stand atop the rest today. The other thing that has changed significantly is the conversation has shifted from online shopping to omni-channel shopping. And so 10 years ago, we had early indicators that shoppers wanted to move a lot more of the buying process online. And today, 2 in 3 shoppers tell us they want to move more of that process online. And it's starting to happen. But what's also happening is this disconnect that occurs from the time they shop online to the time they show up at the dealership, which is where this term omnichannel has come into the conversation today. But overall, I think over the course of the last 15 years, we have done a tremendous amount of work as an industry and really pushed this process along. We have shaved off 4 hours off the car buying process, which I think is a huge, huge win, not only for consumers, but for all the parties involved, frankly. And never have consumers been so satisfied with the shopping process as they are today, in particular new car shoppers, which have been a tough, tough group to move along.
Yes, our listeners should reach around and pat themselves on the back. 82%.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, 82% consumer satisfaction. And, you know, that just says their dealers are meeting consumers where they are. And so I love what you just shared there, especially about it being a testament to the work that the industry and dealers have put into improving that consumer experience. So next, I want to hear something I think we all wonder about. Are there any trends that emerged from our consumer research over the years that ultimately didn't gain traction?
So yes, I hate to admit that we had some misses along the way, but as good as we are, nothing ever really happens exactly as you predict it will. So especially when it comes to the uncontrollables that happen in the marketplace, you know, some of which can suppress or even speed up progress. I hate to give the obvious example, which is COVID, but I think for sure that sped up online purchasing in ways that none of us could have ever anticipated. But what also did is it really thwarted progress that we observed in other areas. So 15 years ago, we were starting to see a decline in interest in owning vehicles amongst consumers. Yes. And the reason that is cars were just becoming increasingly more expensive and frankly unattainable for some consumers in the marketplace, which gave rise to this conversation that we had around transportation as a service. And so what I mean by that is ride sharing, the likes of Lyft, Uber, they were going to take us everywhere, right? All the time. Car sharing, you know, sharing a car with your neighbor and perhaps sharing the expenses associated with that. Fractional ownership, when you only own a car when you need one. Or subscription models. I mean, who can remember the days where we were talking about that in significant ways? Wow. And then, of course, autonomous vehicles. You know, when a car can drive itself, you don't need to have it sitting in your driveway 90% of the day. It can just go out and do business, conduct business for you all day long, and then take you wherever you need to be. Well, a lot of these things kind of fell to the wayside preceding COVID, but of course, alleviated significantly during the COVID era. More consumers, of course, at the time felt that owning a vehicle was becoming increasingly more important because it became their avenue to freedom, if you will, the one way that they could leave their house while still being safe. And so naturally, what we saw is these new transportation options really suffered. A lot of them never scaled to the degree that they could become profitable business solutions that providers offered, including dealers, manufacturers. And one of the things we also saw is that people's love affair for their vehicles was reinvigorated during the COVID era, for sure. So as I look back to the early 2000s, at the time, the average household owned two vehicles. And as we look at where we stand today, it's still around two vehicles. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely something that didn't hit quite like what we expected.
Yes, your team even recently shared with us some of the consumer buyer journey study output, an evolving consumer study output that it's almost becoming a lifestyle purchase now, the way consumers are thinking about the vehicle that they're buying and how it's going to enhance their lifestyle and their hobbies and the family time that they spend with those that they love. So it's been an interesting evolution. So Isabel, as we think about the next 15 years, what opportunities does our consumer research point to, and what would be your advice to dealers in our industry on how to prepare for those opportunities?
So I think there are three things that everyone is really leaning into. I already mentioned one of them, which is omnichannel. Today, half of buyers are still completing aspects of the buying process in person, despite a very strong preference to do it online, which tells me that we still have a lot of work to do to provide those capabilities to them. And today, only 4 in 10 dealers offer this ability to complete every steps of the process online. So we have a ways to go there. And then, of course, as we talked about, this online to offline transition is not seamless. 85% of shoppers expect to be able to pick up right where they left off when they walk into a dealership. But I was shocked to see this. 97% of dealers tell us, you know what? Nope. Many times, more times than not, consumers have to repeat steps of the process that they've already completed online, which is frustrating not only for the consumer, mm-hmm. but also makes this dealership very, very inefficient. Right. So big opportunity there. 83% of consumers also believe that it will impact how they buy cars in the next 10 years. And so leaning into AI and artificial intelligence is something that all of us have to do, not only to improve our own operations, but also to leverage it in ways that can create efficiencies for the shopper. So artificial intelligence and leaning into that is number two on the list. And then, of course, we can't have artificial intelligence or seamless omnichannel experiences without it being fueled by good data. Now, we don't have a data problem in the sense that we don't have enough data. The problem that we have, and particularly when we talk to dealers, is they question the accuracy of the data and they struggle to extract actionable insights from it. So I think that that's one of the next big opportunities for us to solve as an industry is how to reduce two problems that dealers tell us all the time they have. One is how do we reduce the lag in real-time data updates that they receive so that they can take actionable, so they can take action against this data that's provided to them real-time. And then also resolving the issue of conflicting data from multiple sources, which is a big, big, big problem that I think we all have a big opportunity to solve for our industry.
Sure. So in the real world, Isabel, what would be your advice to dealers in the industry? What can they be doing right now to prepare for those opportunities that you just mentioned?
Well, continue to find ways to refine the process for your shopper. So how do we enable them to continue to do more of the purchase process, in particular online? I think that that's foundational, and a lot of leading dealers are leaning very, very heavily in that direction. I think integrating data from across multiple sources so that the information that you have is consistent and you all have the same solid understanding about that consumer when they walk into your dealership. And then lastly, finding ways to embrace AI. I know it's scary and not all dealers are on board with that, but whether it's embracing AI to improve how you usher a consumer through the process of buying a car, or even how you're leveraging it within your stores to improve the efficiencies for your staff, I think is something that that all of us are leaning into as well.
Yeah, it is. It's not about doing more with less. It's about taking your 10-car guy, making him a 12 or 14-car a month guy, your 20-car a month guy, making him a 25 or 26-car a month guy. It's finding incrementality with all of these incredible efficiencies that technology and data AI can give us. So now I know that we have lots more of consumer research coming out later this year, and I love to feature your team on our podcast episodes to give listeners a first look at the findings. So we would love for you to give us a little sneak peek for everyone listening, an exclusive preview into what they can expect for the rest of 2025 from your incredible team.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. So my team was very nervous because I can't just unleash everything we've just learning. But there is this one study that we do occasionally. We don't do it every single year. It's a study that we do to help us understand the emotions that a consumer goes through as they're going through the journey. And I love that because that's how you see real transformation taking place over time. And so compared to 10 years ago, so we just wrapped it up and I just got a sneak peek of it. So compared to 10 years ago, I'm very happy to report that buyers are much more likely today to associate positive emotions with the dealership experience. Honestly, I'm not sure I would have ever been prepared to say that, but I am. So lots of positive emotions. Consumers are more confident. They feel more in control and they're less frustrated, confused, and disappointed than ever before. So that's a big, big win. As a result of completing this study, we're going to be able to help our clients understand what successful dealers are doing to create these experiences, these positive experiences. So I'm excited to share that with all of our clients. It will also help us identify the areas of the journey that continue to be low points of this emotional journey. And there are different pockets where that still exists today, but I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek here. There is a part of the process where there's a lot of wait time, and that still presents a ton of opportunity for us to get better. Something else that we learned from this study is today a quarter of buyers consider dropping out of the process at some point. That is a huge number.
It is.
So we're going to be sharing with everyone when that happens, at what point during the journey that happens, and why it happens, and how that varies based on the type of shopper, because we do see some differences there, and how successful dealers, again, are making inroads to alleviating some of these pain points that still remain in the process. So that's all I'll share for now, but lots of good stuff coming, Jade.
Well, love it. I can't wait to hear more about that one. Sounds like it's overall a really good news story, but there's still a lot of opportunity for us to get even better. So as we start to wrap up here, I want to ask you one last question. Over the many years that you have been at Cox Automotive and the many studies that your team has done and the insights that you've gathered, is there a common theme across all or the majority of them that sticks out?
I think the one constant that we have had in this industry is change, which is why, frankly, I'm still doing what I'm doing today. Change keeps things exciting. It presents opportunities. You know, we change as an industry. Technology changes. The players in this industry have changed over the years. And of course, consumer expectations, boy, they keep us on our toes. And it's not defined by what we're doing in the industry, but what's happening in the bigger world, right? Consumer expectations are not defined by what we decide we're going to do for the consumer. It's what's happening in the broader world for sure. So I love what these studies tell us. You know, they help us keep a pulse on the things that are changing in our industry. We track it. We acknowledge it. We forecast what might happen next. And what I love most about what we do every single day is when we get to share all of this great work with our clients and when we work with them hand in hand to take action so that they're prepared for what might come next. And I will tell you that time and time again, Jade, from my experience, is those that pay attention and those that take action are always going to be the ones that are a step ahead of the rest. And so we love sharing our insights because when our customers win, we win too.
You bet we do. And we say it often on these episodes, but you know, we believe disruption creates opportunity and first movers have an advantage, even though sometimes it gets hot when you're paving those new roads forward, hence the name of our podcast. And so, you know, our dealers, they've got to keep their running shoes on, and that change is really the only constant. And change and adaptability and innovation, those things are cultural and they're contagious in an organization. And so it's really up to you and your team and us and our listeners to set that tone and culture to drive dealership and industry success. So I think that wraps us up for today. I want to extend a huge thank you to Isabel Helms and a huge thank you to all of you for watching or listening to For the Road Forward. Whether you're listening on your favorite streaming platform such as Spotify or Apple or watching on our Auto Trader homepage, we are sure glad that you are here. And if you'd like to be a subscriber where you'll be the first to hear when new episodes like this release, as well as receive subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year, go to b2b.autotrader.com/fortheroadforward, including the recent 15th annual Car Buyer Journey Study linked in the additional resources section, and you will not want to miss that. As always, I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I want to thank you for joining us on For the Road Forward. Be sure to tune in next week as we'll continue the open conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they're currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. And as always, we're cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.